Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Survivor Specialist Bill and McKenna are back. And today we got our little Survivor 50 in the hands of the fans logo going on in the background. I think we had that last night. Maybe.
Yes.
I'm misremembering.
Definitely did.
But we are going to be continuing the road to Survivor 50, talking about slay everyone, trust no one. Just McKenna and I tonight, for all of you who just listened to our absolutely insanely long hot takes episode. Here we are. We're wrapping this up. Blake decided he needs to go to bed, even though it's 8:30 his time. He can't handle it. He can't
hang with He's a sleepy boy.
Yeah, and we're a little bit late, obviously, on tonight's episode because we did do the hot takes. And guess what? We're going to be late tomorrow night, too, because they're doing a two-hour episode and the Traitors is on. So we're going to be doing the Traitors, and then McKenna and I will be back after that to cover the South Pacific finale. But tonight it's all about slay everyone, trust no one. I really am surprised. And I'm not trying to say this is a negative, but I am surprised that 2 weeks before the premiere of Survivor Season 50, they are airing this premiere, knowing what the reaction to the cast and stuff has been for 50. Because they're not going to have them coming in on choppers. This is the most iconic cast ever. They're not going to have this crazy physical challenge to start. Everything about this premiere just absolutely sings. And so I am a little surprised because it's just so good from top to bottom. And it's like, maybe they have a lot of confidence in their premiere, but I just don't, nothing's ever topped this. So how is the 50 premiere going to top this? And is it just going to lead to the entire internet going, well, it's no slay everyone, trust no one. It's not that. It's not that. That's what I'm concerned about.
I think if they were going to do a premiere, I think it would be more similar to Second Chances, where you have like Wigglesworth with Jenna Lewis, you have some people in Monica where it's like, do we need to see you on this? They'll have an opening kind of marooning challenge. So I think Second Chance would have been a still great premiere to show to represent 50, but having Heroes versus Villains with so many icons and iconic moments, I think what you said, it might drag down what we think 50 is going to be because we have this fresh in our minds. Like, I watched this and was like, do I rewatch Heroes versus Villains like right now?
That's the problem with this. This is like you watch the premiere of Game of Thrones or Lost or the first movie in the Lord of the Rings trilogy or like the first you watch those movies, those shows. You have to continue with the story. You can't just watch one. And that's the thing with this episode. You watch this and you say, maybe I will just throw on the next one. And the next thing you know, you're in the finale and you're watching the finale because it's just that good of a season. I get what you're saying about Second Second Chance. The problem is there's really nobody from Second Chance on this season.
That's really I know that that's the thing, but like, I think it's just a better, like, one for one.
That is a better sample, but you have four people from it. And I forget every time I watch this, I kind of forget how much this episode really does show off the entire cast. Everybody mm-hmm. gets their moment. You are reminded why every single person who's in this cast, even those who are kind of invisible as the season goes on, like Danielle, Candace, Courtney, Tyson, you're reminded why they're all there. Whatever their role is, you hear their story. Tyson really doesn't get a story confessional, but he gets the biting confessional of Colby might as well just become a woman now. Like, get those lines in there, and it tells you that's what Courtney's role is. That's it. That's what it's got to be. And so this is a great episode on the rewatch. I love this episode. It's probably the best premiere in the history of the show. I think I took it in the episode draft that we did way back when. And there's just an epicness to all of those people being there, the storylines that have built up over season after season after season. What's going to be interesting about the 50 premiere compared to this is you think about what the heroes versus villains premiere, you have heroes versus villains. You have people playing as Sandra versus Rupert. You have Colby mm-hmm. versus Jerry. If they would have done this as new era versus old school or pre-40, you get more of that butting heads. But because they're all mixed together, you don't have those rivalries. And then you have some people in the new era who it's like, who cares about Jonathan Young, what him and Mike right. White are going to talk about or what they're going to do. Every character here, it felt like it mattered. And they've never done it better. They probably never will. And it's just a pleasure to watch this episode the entire time.
But what's going to be interesting is to see whose stories come from this, because we have Boston Rob and Sandra on a beach together. Mm-hmm. And then that goes into an alliance, a friendship. They are on Island of the Idols together. They play Winners at War together. Like, there's a story arc of Boston Rob and Sandra and being like faces of Survivor. But who are going to be, not necessarily in gameplay strategy, but like this story arc of this friendship or kinship with one another that can blossom into the next few seasons moving forward, that like just meet on the beach? Because Sandra even says in this episode, I loved Rob on his season. I loved watching him. And they're all fans of each other, which is great too.
Yeah. And I think that plays a big, I think that's kind of what they're going for a little bit here, is they want it to be like, hey, like, look at what these people are going to get from Rizgod and Colby playing together. Like, when mm-hmm. Rizgod and Colby play together, Colby might not care who Rizgod is, but Rizgod's gonna be like, oh my God, I'm standing here with Colby. This is awesome. I can't believe I'm here. This is the best day ever. This is great. You know, you're gonna get that kind of excitement. I don't know if you'll ever hit the level, because you have to remember, you had the very distinct split here of pre-All-Stars and post-All-Stars.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was still some sort of distinction, much like you actually do see in this season coming up. Like, there is a distinction between pre-All-Stars, post-All-Stars, but everybody was still kind of feeling like they were in the same community.
Mm-hmm.
With this season, it doesn't necessarily feel that way. So what are
the days? It's the days. In pre-All-Stars, post-All-Stars, it's still the same amount of days. I think it has to do with the days of the seasons.
I think that's just where it comes down to, like, which new era players are going to befriend old school players because of this season? That's my question. And obviously, like, Stephanie LaGrosse has been commenting on everybody's posts, so we know, like, oh, she's probably going to be friends with some people. But, like, that's where, when Sandra and Boston Rob, they played around the same time, but Sandra is obviously not on his season. And they don't play again for 12 seasons. So they were going to be kind of bonded by the fact that they were pre-All-Stars mm-hmm. players. Rupert, same thing. And then you start to get this Tyson, JT, this kind of thing. But what's fun is you're watching them bridge the gap. You're watching JT and Tom and Colby kind of link up. And you're watching, what is it, JT and James, where they can just hang out. Now, that's a closer era. But then mm-hmm. you are watching on the other tribe, Tyson and Boston Rob getting along really well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do wonder how much, like, cross-era alliance making we're going to see in this new episode. Because even you thought at this time, it was like, oh, my God, 10 years. We haven't seen Colby since season 8. How is he going to get along with JT? It's like, it was five years ago. Like they got to figure it out. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Yeah. Now you're talking Jenna Lewis legitimately has not played in 22 years. Mm-hmm. It's a huge difference. So yeah, but it's so fascinating to watch those dynamics, especially from characters you really do care about on the season.
And everybody is all up in arms about, oh, Jerry and Colby aren't playing together this in 50. But the real travesty is Jerry not playing with Coach in 50, not necessarily Colby. If she could play with all three, great. Or both of them, great. But like, I forgot that this was in the premiere episode of Coach and Jerry flirting.
It's crazy how much they pack into this premiere, because you get that. You obviously get the opening challenge. You do get a lot of you get a lot of strategic gameplay too, because you have Sugar where they're talking about, oh, she's the easy vote. And then you have Tom saying, is that done? Shouldn't we go for Saree instead? And then you have Saree and Amanda being like, why are we going for Sugar? This is so easy. We should get rid of some. Stephanie's a good player. And like, you get these like little hints also that are laid throughout, of Russell making the Dumb Girls Alliance, thinking he's making a Dumb Girls Alliance, and that's not working for him. And all these different things. It's like, yeah, there's a lot packed into this premiere. This premiere tells a full story for everyone. And it tells the storylines that are going to matter as the season goes on. Coach talking about, I'm in awe of Boston Rob. He really, I'm watching my idol play. And then he ends up turning on him later on in the game, because you're a little man, Coach. Like, that stuff's so good. It's the storytelling in Heroes versus Villains really is like second to none.
Randy doesn't get much, but what he does is curmudgeon Randy of like, a fire's not going to matter. You can't make a fire. We don't have a flint. We're not going to vote you out because you make fire. We're not going to keep you because you can make fire. And then Boston Rob makes fire and he's like, we're not going to touch it. It's all you, my guy. It's wild.
Yeah. Now, Randy is definitely like the most underedited here, but you're right. He is fun. It is what you expect from him. And that's all you can really ask for. So let's talk about this opening. They come in on the choppers.
Yeah.
We watched Winners at War. They come in, they're on the island, they do a challenge right away. But all of these seasons have been head to head. What do you think they're going to do with 50?
Well,
like, how do you hit this epicness of those two seasons?
I don't think you do it. Like, it's going to feel probably like a new era season, because they're probably like, all right, here's the opening. We have our marooning challenge that you get your supplies for, unless they're given supplies, because we don't know what's going on with the hands of the fans. But there is that wide shot that could be the immunity challenge, but I think it's the marooning, because it has like the long poles to like slide something off of.
Yeah, Zach says it looks like a standard challenge they've been doing in the preview.
Yeah, so I feel like it's not going to have the epicness. Like, Winners at War had the champagne toast. We had Heroes versus Villains with the choppers. But I do hope that Jeff does sit with them and talk about their legacies or whatnot on the mats, because that is something we got, and the banter and the discourse between the tribes and the contestants with Jeff. That was a part of what made this episode great in the beginning of it, is because we had those little quips and things like that of, I'm not a villain. What?
Yeah. And what with the hats, is there some symbolism here, Jeff? Yeah. And, I don't think I should be over here. Like, whatever. I do agree with that. The whole new era, it's always been, hey, we're on the mat. We're here. We're going to talk about how excited we are to be here. Like, Jeff, I can't believe you're standing right there. You're going to get some of that for sure in the 50 premiere. You're going to get Colby being like, Jeff, I can't believe I'm here again. I've played in 15 years. Jenna's going to say the same thing. Like, you're going to get some of that. But I do hope that more of it is like, I don't want Jeff to just focus on, Colby, when you played, Rizzo wasn't even born yet. Or
he wasn't born.
Exactly. Like, I don't want that stuff. That's not what it's all about. And like, you really see it in this Heroes versus Villains premiere, how the tone of the show has just changed so drastically. Because the early era of the show was so much about the adventure. The first version of Survivor that Colby played is so much different from this version of Survivor that Colby plays. But there was still something about the adventure. When Colby says, if your adrenaline is not pumping and flying in on those birds, Why are you here? And I love the way he does it. Like, he stays in character the entire time. It, when you see that, you see the seriousness, but you also feel the epicness. Mm-hmm. 50 can't just be like, oh, this is goofy. Isn't this so great? We're all just here. This is awesome. Like, you see how much the tone has changed, but this premiere is still so much fun. You get, as Chuda Man says here, Maneater Manthi. That one was my favorite. Like, all of the nicknames, everybody kind of going through their history with the show, what they wanted it to be.
Yeah.
And it's so much fun without being like over the top, silly, goofy. We just have to be like, look how much fun this is. Like, it's real fun. It's real, yeah, authentic. I'm so excited to be watching this. I don't need fake fun. And I do feel like a lot of the new era has been this. We need to touch it so softly. We got to use the kid gloves. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And then it ends up just being like too silly, happy-go-lucky. No, be serious. Like, it's okay to be serious. You can still have fun with it. There's nothing more fun than the first 20 minutes. The first 20 minutes of Heroes versus Villains, in my opinion, is the best part of the entire season. It is. And it's a great season.
Yeah. And Jeff also is like ripping on the castaways too. So when they come in for the immunity challenge, the heroes have the chickens and are saying like, our roof is so thatched. And Villains are like, yeah, our camp sucks. Coach goes, no, it's not that bad. They correct him. No, it sucks. And then Jeff is like, well, Coach can endure anything.
Mm-hmm.
Of course he doesn't think it sucks. Like, he's ripping on all of the castaways through the entire challenge, tribal, like the way that they talk to each other. Of James was like, Amanda, I think this is your best tribal council yet. Like, mm-hmm, that's what makes Heroes versus Villains great, is they are riffing with each other. They're playing off of each other. They know it's a show, but like, they don't make it so overt of like, hi, you know, this is my story from when I was a child, mm-hmm, and now I'm here. It's just like, it's integrating their backstories in a fun, exciting way.
Yeah, and it's celebrating why each of those characters is there, right? Like, even the Candace and the Danielle, where you're like, why are they there? Like, those are the, mm-hmm, biggest question mark ones. You get Danielle being like, I like to hit the ground running. I want to play this game aggressively. I'm ready to go. So Russell's perfect for me. I just got to make sure I blindside him before he blindsides me. Spoiler, it doesn't happen. Then you get Candace and Colby kind of bonding over the fact that they really have no idea who anybody is. And they, mm-hmm, don't really know what's happening with the game and all that. And there is something really fun about watching that, and it shows off like the different eras people played in, why people played in these different eras, how they adapted, how some can't adapt, how Rupert is so concerned that he's just not going to be able to catch fish and supplies, so he's got to at least make fire, and then he can't even make fire.
God.
How is he ever going to stay in the game?
Nobody can make fire. Like, it's he can't, so nobody can make fire. No, and then JT's like, Rupert, JT, can I try? And he's like, I've shaved off all the magnesium.
Cerise confessional of his ego's so big, you just have to sit there. You can't say anything. It's great. And again, though, like, we know these personalities. And, you know, I don't want this to be – I think I say this all the time, and it's the number one problem with new era casting. And it's what I say every time now. The individuals aren't the problem. Mm-hmm. How they interact with each other is – and if you cast one Say and 17 super fans, the show doesn't work. Right. You need to have the proper mix. I don't want the 50 Matt chat to be, I am here because I want to do this and I that. And like, you have Riz God talking about his thing, and then like maybe casually bringing up Savannah, and this person talking about their thing, and Jenna talking about, I want to know why the characters are there to butt heads with each other, right? Mm-hmm. Even, is anybody here willing to admit that they're a little threatened by the size of James and everybody puts their hand up?
Yeah.
It's like, Joe versus Jonathan. What's that going to be like? And you get Ozzy being like, Jeff, I'm not too bad either. Like, that's the kind of stuff you need. Mm-hmm. It needs to be about the interactions between the players, not each individual player. Mm-hmm. Season 20, that premiere highlights all of that. Sandra undoing Sugar's bra. Everybody says Sugar's such a bust on Heroes vs. Villains. Somebody's got to be voted out first. Sandra undoing her bra gives Sugar an iconic moment, one of the most iconic, yep, images in Survivor history, with the double birds, topless. It's amazing. And it's like, that is how they play off each other. That's the most important, mm-hmm, part about Survivor. And I hope that's not missing from the first 20 minutes of In the Hands of the Fans.
My favorite moment was Courtney saying, break her arm. And then Stephanie comes out with a dislocated shoulder. Like, that is iconic.
And going back to kind of how, like, they'll baby some contestants and stuff nowadays, she dislocates her shoulder. Rupert breaks his toe. I'm like, great, the challenges are going to be physical. James tears his ACL. The challenges are going to be physical. Like, that's just how it's going to be, friends. You better be ready to play a physical game of Survivor, because that's the type of game we are going to play. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, like, I'm watching that first challenge and Russell is twisting Tom's
name. I was just going to say the way Russell was.
And Jeff's going, play fair, play fair. We're not going to get that in 50. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that it's three tribes. So you can't get that head-to-head bashing and all that. And that makes sense. But it's a shame. It's disappointing. It's sad that we're not going to get that, because I understand you don't want to have too many injuries in a season. A lot of seasons in the earlier eras were impacted too greatly by the injuries. But just because it's a physical challenge doesn't mean you're going to get an injury.
Yeah.
And so figure out a way to make it where it's not just over the top. Like sumo at sea, you can do. Okay. Like these types of
challenges. The rings challenge, in the water.
The rings in the water. Yeah, that's a good one. You can do these challenges, but you need to have head to head. So I don't know. I watched this opening and I'm like, man, like everybody gets to show their true colors right away. Mm-hmm. And you get that iconic moment of Coach dragging Colby back to the mat. You get that iconic moment with Sugar, and you get the iconic moment with James running with the bag faster than everybody and shoulders being dislocated. It's just tremendous. And you're just not going to get that. And also, like, yeah, that's where we do need the Courtneys of the world and the Tysons of the world to say things that are just so outlandish. Good. Like they're saying it from the heart, saying it right here. They're ready to go.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad you bring up Coach and Colby, because Coach has long forgotten about it, but he's glad that you brought it up so we could talk about it.
One of my favorite Coach confessionals, and I meant to bring it up last night when we were doing the martyr approach, where Coach says, I'm not making any excuses, after he lists out about 17 excuses for why it's not going to be good for him. This is one of my all-time favorite Coach confessionals. Well, he's right to the camera. Long after I'd forgotten all about it, they're just talking about it, praising it. And what's Coach doing while they're doing it? Yeah, I kind of got him like real good here. And he's adding to the story. He hasn't stopped thinking about it at all. And it leads to that really funny moment with Boston Rob saying, I know somebody who just wants to prove himself so much, they'll climb this tree. And then Coach saying, I had to swallow my pride. It is what it is. Like, Coach doesn't swallow his pride. Coach is thinking about how I'm going to chop down that tree so I can get to the top. Who cares? But, you know, you're getting so, like, Coach, this is, I love the martyr approach, but, like, this is where Coach really can shine. Coach comes out on an all-returning player season with the biggest personalities who have ever played. It doesn't get much better than Coach in this episode. And he's really not at an annoying level. He's at a different, he's coming in with a different energy than what he brought to Token Cheese.
I say Token Cheese Coach is my least favorite coach. And I think I don't want to say gets better, but I think both of those in Heroes versus Villains and South Pacific are more tolerable for me than Token Cheese. Like, I think he's hilarious in Heroes versus Villains, and he's so annoying to me in Token Cheese. So I think Heroes versus Villains is probably the best iteration of Coach, I'd say.
I think that's a fair statement. I think South Pacific Coach is terrible. I mean, South Pacific Coach isn't terrible, but I get bored by South Pacific Coach more than anything. I think that Token Cheese Coach, he can't find his way, and then he starts to find his way and it gets so over the top. Mm-hmm. I do feel like in this season, you're getting the most authentic version of Coach. You're getting the humble Coach, the kind of, you know, worried about where he fits in Coach, and then the Coach who's unsure of where he needs to go.
Yeah.
Actually leads to a very different game style in the next season. But yeah, it's very, very fascinating. And that's Coach. We're going to get more of them tomorrow night.
Yeah. Another part that I liked about this premiere is when the Villains Tribe won, they went back to camp with the villains and are just like, all right, so now we're going to talk about who we think they're voting out. And they're exposing like all the dynamics that they know about. And they're like, well, shouldn't they target James and Amanda? And that also gets brought up on the other side. It was interesting to see how the other tribe was talking about the other members, which would be awesome to hear now that we have extended episodes like this and have the other tribes talk about, oh, I know Jenna over there. She's going to be trying to do this during this scramble time. I think, you know, this person's probably out.
Well, you get Parvati defending, saying, well, I don't know about if Amanda and Sari are together. And then Sandra's like, day one, you have nothing else to go off. Of course they're going to be together. And she just starts yelling at Parvati. But it's so funny because Parvati's trying to protect her potential alliance in the future. Mm-hmm. You know, she's thinking about those things and she's standing up for them and she's talking about it. So, yeah, you get all of it. And I know Russell does end up dominating screen time the majority of the season, although his confessional count isn't actually nearly as high as I thought it was when you rewatch. But you're still getting, like, all the bit players are getting their role. And I do look, the premiere of 50 is about to be 3 hours long. They better get everybody in there. They better do a hell of a job getting everybody in there. But I am curious where the bit players are going to fit in, because what's the chip on the shoulder? Like, Tiffany got voted out with an idol in her pocket. What's the chip on the shoulder for Jonathan, that he lost Fire? Like, but he doesn't have anybody out there who played with him. So, like, what's the story? So I'm curious what they're going to focus on as the story. And I know that they want to celebrate Survivor, and I'm all about celebrating Survivor. I mean, that's why I've done, I think, I'm doing 17 podcasts this week when you count Patreon. Like, I'm all about celebrating Survivor.
We literally have a podcast called Celebrating.
You have a podcast called Celebrating Survivor. But at the same time, it's like, I don't want this to just be a celebration of Survivor. I want it to still be Survivor.
Gameplay,
there's no better premiere that displays that than this one.
Mm-hmm. Because it has gameplay, character, great challenges. Okay. Also, side note on the challenge, the immunity challenge, they have 4 people on this puzzle. That's insane. Like, why is there a miscount? Like, why?
They're doing it to fluster. It's purposeful.
How though?
You're doing it to frustrate. You're making it so that the people who are doing the puzzle bump into each other. You're creating tension by doing it, because 4 people can't fit around that little thing. So now you got 8 hands that are going in there trying to pull it away. And that's why Rupert, you actually get this feeling of, like, is Rupert doing anything? Well, Rupert's doing the smartest thing of just kind of studying the puzzle so that he can try to figure it out. But if he starts ramming his hands in there, how can it help? That's, you know, they never can figure it out. And then Sugar's trying to move stuff around. Plus, yeah, as Chudaman says, it's a tribe of 10. So yeah, I think that it's part of the plan. Sometimes you give people a little bit more, a little bit less than they actually need to create the drama of a challenge.
Got it.
That's what I think.
That's a good thought.
All right. So what is it? This Chudaman says they should really just play seasons back a month or two before seasons, because these 3 episodes have been great. I totally agree. I mean, like, if they were doing this every night, would we be podcasting it? No, but this has been a lot of fun. Like, I watched this one early today because obviously I was doing my hot takes podcast, so I didn't catch the intro or the outro or any of that stuff. But this is a lot of fun, and it's something that really is bringing the community together. I'm curious if people will be as excited to watch the next 2 episodes that they air, being that those are from less popular seasons. But I do agree that this has been a lot of fun. And, like, if you haven't watched Heroes versus Villains since it aired, like, let's say you are, like, my parents, they watch the seasons once. If you're a filthy casual who watches it once and that's it, and you turn on CBS tonight and you're like, oh man, this is on. You just watched that. It's been 16 years. You're probably going and getting Paramount Plus tonight. Like, you probably
wonder what their upticks are on Paramount Plus since airing these episodes.
I know. I wonder if like we can get that data. I wonder if. Let's see Monday night TV ratings. Let's see. I can play this game. Let's see what it looks like. So I don't even know what you look for anymore for TV ratings, but let's go look at Monday night. Survivor rerun had 2 million viewers,
nice.
Which American Idol running a non-rerun had 4.49, and the Olympics had 10.85. So it was third in it's insane. It was third in its time slot. And it's a rerun, and the Olympics are going up against it. Primetime Olympics.
And this was Monday, so it's an SD season. It's not even HD.
Yeah, true. I mean, it is the biggest episode. Let's see if Coach dragged in more ratings, you know? they don't have from Tuesday out yet, so.
Okay.
So we'll have to figure that out. But that is interesting. That is something to think about. Like 2 million, like Zach says, 2 million on a rerun is insane. Like, and there's no hype about this. Like, I have really good friends who are they're Survivor fans. They're not as big as we are, but they're big Survivor fans. And I'm like, I texted one the other day. I'm like, hey, Coach is back on TV. He's like, oh, they're running old episodes. I'm like, yeah, like there's a lot of people who don't know that this is even happening right now, especially with Survivor hyping up season 50. They're not looking to hype up these episodes as well. They don't want to confuse the audience. It's kind of like how, like Blake said last night at the end of our episode, I'm like, we got this going on. It's like, that's too much. You're confusing people. You want to hype up the premiere of 50. You don't really care about hyping up these things. So getting 2 million without really advertising it.
Yeah, it's all about the 50 challenge right now on Survivor.
All they're talking about. All they're talking about. Yep. Yep. Somebody said better than the challenge number. Speaking of the challenge. Yeah. And Zach says, I think their promotion for it was not very good. I just don't think that it's that important to them. This is like, this is a time of year.
The true fans will know.
Yeah. Let's just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you got 2 million. Like, that's really good. I think, I mean, to put that into perspective. Okay. Let's put this into perspective. Survivor 49 Wikipedia. And now granted, that number is probably going to go up a little bit because you're going to get other things lumped in, you know, whatever. To put that into perspective, the premiere for season 49, 4.03.
That's crazy.
This was only half of what the premiere for season 49 did. That's crazy.
Yeah, Zach also said half of most of the 49 episodes.
Yeah, let me see if there was ever there was a 3.9 in there. Hot Grim Reaper was the lowest.
That's crazy.
You did it to yourselves. But yeah, I mean, that's really good. I mean, good for them. I'm glad that this is happening. And, you know, take a chance on this stuff when you have nothing else going on. I mean, it's not like they'd be putting out a TV show right now that would be absolutely killing it. Like, most shows are out. And Extracted, which is running in Fox, is trying to run as a side thing, right? Again,
it's so good.
You got 1.38 million viewers on Monday night going up against a rerun of Survivor. It lost to a rerun of Survivor.
I didn't watch it live.
And what do you think more people are going to do? Go back and watch If It Smells Like a Rat, Give It Cheese, or go back and watch Extracted?
Porcano Los Dos.
Yeah. No, that's incorrect, McKenna. Incorrect. Not going to happen. So back to this episode. I mean, this doesn't have to be super long. It's after midnight now here on the East Coast, and McKenna, because, you know, we had to just keep hot taking. But let's talk about Tribal.
Okay.
Because this is one of my biggest things that has changed. And Heroes versus Villains is kind of the apex of Survivor. I don't think it's the best season, but most people consider it to be the best, or everybody says it's one of the best. Let's talk about Tribal. It's so short.
Yeah.
It's so short. And obviously, last night's was short. The Eric one's a little bit longer, but it's so short. I miss so much when it wasn't its own, like, full 15-minute segment.
Yes. Agreed. We don't need that long, especially if it's a vote like Sugar. Like, if it's a vote that we know what's happening, give me, you know, the cut to the Heroes camp or the Villains camp. Like, Tribal is nobody says anything.
It don't be formulaic for the sake of being formulaic. I guess that's really my point from all of this. Like, oh, we have to have 15 minutes at Tribal. No, you don't. If it's not there, don't do it. And yeah, Daryl Seymour says Tribal used to be a lot shorter.
Like five
it's great.
Minutes.
It's great. A lot of them are 5 minutes. A lot of times they used to not do the commercial break. The commercial break would be after the challenge. They'd go back to camp and then they'd go to Tribal. And that was all one segment of the show. Mm-hmm. And so you'd hear the discussion and then that. And then the show changed because they wanted to get more into the actual discussion of who was going to be voted out, what was going to happen here, what was going to happen there. And then, so then they had its own segment of planning and then its own segment of actually going to Tribal. This episode is so good because we know it's going to be Sugar. It's going to be a landslide. Get in, get out. Let's get on with life. 50, it could be the most obvious first boot ever. It's going to be 15 to 20 minutes long. That's just too long. It's too long. I don't like it.
And Jeff also airs all of the dirty laundry out everywhere. If you wanted to hide anything, forget about it. Jeff's going to tell everyone about it. Savannah originally wanted to hide that she won 49. But do we think Jeff is going to be like, Kyle, you won your season. D, you won your season. Savannah, you won your season. And air it anyway. And then all of the shadiness is for what?
Yeah, I mean, I think Jeff has to. I mean, although on this season, he doesn't air that Russell lost. I think they just say he got the final tribal council. I don't know if they actually tell them that he lost, but I don't know. I feel like you got to know what place people got. I think that's the fairest way on the back-to-back seasons. You have to tell them.
And like him saying to Amanda, you've made it to Final Tribal Council twice. You've played two other times. Mm-hmm. You're excellent at making it to the finals. And it's just like, thanks, Jeff. Like, we don't need to like put this more in their minds.
This was the season. This was the era where Jeff was really inserting himself a lot. This happens mm-hmm. later on in Heroes versus Villains, where he complains about how everybody was voting out all the big people and keeping Sugar or keeping Courtney. And Courtney's like, I didn't vote out Tyson. I'm sorry. Like, don't take it out on me that all your favorite players are gone. And she like says essentially something like that. So, yeah, it's very fascinating how much Jeff inserts himself, but I do miss kind of lippier Jeff. I miss sassy Jeff, like Jeff now where it's, I can be silly. I know he had an interview recently where he was saying, you know, I can be goofy. I'm having more fun with it. I'm doing this. That's great and all.
Goofy is different than sassy.
Yeah. Like sassy is better. Like we don't want our host. We don't want it to be like, oh, wow, he's running like a daycare. It's like, no, these are grown adults playing for $1 million. Like, beat him up. Let's go.
Yeah, agreed.
So that's my biggest takeaway. What else about this episode? Because
Oprah in a gangsta suit.
We do get that line from her.
Mm-hmm. Other than that, I feel like we covered a lot of it.
Yeah, I mean, now we've had two episodes of Sari, two episodes of Coach. We've had one of Stephanie, one of Colby. Sari, obviously. Yeah, Sari, it was obviously so much about that first one. Mm-hmm. Because this one, Sari doesn't really do much. This was a good episode. This is a great episode for Colby. This is probably one of his best episodes from Heroes versus Villains. And he talks a lot in this episode. Yeah, he gets dragged to the end, but he's talking about, you know, I'm at a different point in my life. I got to figure out what I got to do. You know, it's embarrassing. It's humbling. It's all this. And then, you know, people are constantly talking about, yeah, Mr. Hockey Coach using all that life experience in a kayak. That is so funny, too. But you're getting all these lines from Colby. And I feel like this is probably the episode they wanted to show to highlight Colby and Stephanie. Coach is obviously a big part of it. You're always going to be able to highlight Coach. But this does feel like the highlight of Colby because he is so much a part of this episode and so much a part of the story and him and Sugar and all that stuff. And it's just kind of like a reminder of this is what Colby's going to be like. Get ready. This is what it's going to be. And yeah, by the way, Sari and Coach are still here. And honestly, it shows what a badass Stephanie was because her social game in this season, she can never really get her footing, but it really shows what a badass she is. I just don't know how I'm supposed to be excited for 50 when I just watched James and Amanda and Parv and like Boston Rob and Tyson and all these people. Yeah. And now I'm going to turn around and it's like, woohoo, Tiffany, sorry.
It would have also been interesting to see Amanda and Courtney interact again on the island because having Courtney and Parvati on opposite alliances in the villains, but also both working closely with Amanda and to see how that trio would navigate the game would have been really interesting as well.
Yeah, if Courtney makes it one more tribal, it would have been very fascinating to see what Courtney would have done in the post-merge of that season. Sandra goes on to win. And I'm not saying, you know, a lot of people with Chris Doherty and stuff, it's like, oh, you just had to be that person that you can go. I'm not saying that Courtney wins.
Yeah, I don't think
Courtney very likely gets to Final Four again. And she was well connected. Like, that's what people forget. Like, she had Amanda. She had, I mean, James is gone at this point, but she was dating Steven or was, I think, had just dated Steven or was coming close to dating Steven. Like, so she knew JT.
Yeah.
You know, and JT's going to be there. She was close with Sandra, obviously. Like, if she makes it one more vote, it might honestly have been better if the heroes had lost that immunity so it was 6-4 villains. I know that the next episode is incredible, but really the post-merge after the Parvati play, it's very fun to watch them kind of navigate it, but the heroes just fumble, 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 fumble. I think Courtney absolutely would have played with Amanda again. Why not go with Amanda to the final again? You beat her last time.
Yeah, right? Do we think that the Stephanie boot in Heroes versus Villains would have been a good episode to show? Because we have James being like, she's making us a disaster tribe. She's obviously cursed because she keeps losing everything. Would that have also been a good episode? Because that would have been hilarious because we keep thinking that Stephanie is on the disaster tribe of 50 now.
That is true, but I think you're showing too much of a negative side of that game and her style and all that. They don't want to do that. They don't want to show the warts and all. They want to show the good stuff. So yeah, I don't think they would have done that. Honestly, if they were going to do anything to maybe highlight Colby, it, you know, Suri getting voted out with Colby, right. Tom and JT, like that's one of my favorite episodes. One of the most underrated episodes in the history of the show. But yeah, I don't think you can show the vote out. You could show the vote out of Coach, because the story is Coach. Coach comes out with honor. You can't have Stephanie going out and saying, you all need to learn how to do this, that, blah, blah, blah. And then James going, shut your mouth. And it's like, that's the last thing you remember about Stephanie.
That's right. Yeah,
you can't do that. So,
okay. Back.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for Slay Everyone, Trust No One. Tomorrow night, we are doing the finale of South Pacific. What's it called?
Great question.
Okay. Well, we're doing that episode. We will be live after Will and I get done recapping the traders. Obviously, live in-season traders is a much bigger deal than this, but this is still a lot of fun. Mr. Monkey, tonight we make our move. Tomorrow, our apologies. Oh, that confessional is the greatest. So thank you all so much for listening to this. If you are listening, please, please, please like this video. Like, hit that like button. It helps us a lot. It'll help keep growing these episodes, growing the channel, so that when we're doing all these episodes, it's so worthwhile. What are we talking about?
You sounded too painful.
Mr. Monkey, we live in a world that CBS is airing South Pacific on primetime television.
Yes, and I'm glad to be living it.
When they don't have to. So thank you all for listening. Go check out all of our other episodes that we've been doing this week, and we will see you tomorrow night with another episode of Road to 50 at like 11.
Sounds good.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.